Let us join our hearts in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, grant that I thy passion view with repentant grieving, nor thee crucify anew by unholy living. How could I refuse to shun every sinful pleasure, since for me God's only Son suffered without measure? Lord, have mercy upon us. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, God's grace, mercy, and compassion are yours to be found in the wounds, the suffering, and death, and the resurrection of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Our meditation this evening, in this Ash Wednesday, as we begin the season of Lent, is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 13th chapter, beginning with the first verse. And I invite you to rise as we hear these words in our Lord's name. There were present at that season some who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." He also spoke this parable. "A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, 'Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?' But he answered and said to him, 'Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down.'" These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. There's an ongoing debate in many editorial rooms for television programs right now, for news programs. The debate centers around just how much of the terroristic violence should we allow to be shown on the TV screens to our viewers. There are some who think that the American public is not getting the full story because they always stop short of showing us the executions and some of the horrific events that have taken place in the Middle East. Terrorism and tragedy is something that we can't take too much of. And there's a fear that if we show that in all of its ugliness, it may be a little hard for us to handle. That same type of tragedy and same type of horrific barbarism was happening in Jesus' day as well. We hear of two incidents brought up in our gospel reading for tonight. Back in Jesus' time, the first is the massacre that was orchestrated by Pilate that Jesus discusses. It fits right into what we know about Pilate from other records of history, from Josephus and Philo, that he would at times indiscriminately just send a group of soldiers out to kill a bunch of people just to keep fear in the people. These were people that were actually going right into the temple with their sacrifices, and their blood gets mingled with those very animals' blood. And likewise, the Tower of Siloam must have been some tragic, either failure of construction or something that took place. Killed 18 people. Can you imagine how sad that must have been in the city of Jerusalem? Some wonder if it was near the Pool of Siloam, possibly part of an aqueduct system. We don't know. There's been speculation among archaeologists. Different round tower bases have been found in the area, destroyed. They're not sure if that's necessarily one of these. When things like this occur, either in ancient times or as tragedies and barbarism and terrorism occurs in our time as well today, it causes us people to often just want to know why. Why does this have to happen? And in particular, why did it happen to these individuals? Among the Jewish people of Jesus' day, they often wanted to connect the dots. They wanted to find a cause and effect between why certain individuals suffered these horrific, tragic deaths, and others seemed to be spared them. Job's friends, likewise, argue with him when he's stricken with all of his problems, argue with him that there must be some reason that God specifically is doing this to you. But Jesus, when he's asked these questions, gives a very kind of unexpected answer. Listen to what he says again. Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. His point is this. It's not whether the people who suffered deserved this or not, but rather, all of humanity deserves this. That's his point. All of humanity deserves this. Complete destruction. Our question should never be, well, why did God let that happen to so-and-so? But the real question should be, why didn't God let that happen to me? Why hasn't this occurred in my life? Why have I been spared something like that? That's the issue. That's the question that our Lord wants us to face. Now, we falsely assume sometimes that some of us have been spared tragedy and barbarism and everything else because we somehow maybe deserve not to be treated like that, as if we are unable to fully grasp what our real condition of sin and fallen nature is like in front of God. It's hard for us to face the reality about ourselves, that that's how God views me. He says, every thought of the intent of my heart is only evil continually, without his grace in the picture. That's brutal honesty about us. We still have a little proud voice inside of us, I know I do, that says, well, I may have some sin, but I'm sure not like some people are out there. Some people maybe deserve to have their life come to an end like that, but not Don Molstead, that's for sure. Just look at me. I'm a chaplain, for goodness sakes. And Jesus' point here is this. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. This is what you actually deserve. There's a danger for us in wanting to downplay and minimize our sinfulness. And part of the danger of that that Jesus is warning us about in our text is that we tend to delay repentance. We tend to put it off. We tend to act like it's something we can get to later on in life. Jesus is kind of saying to you and me tonight through these words, don't live under the false illusion that you're going to have plenty of time to kind of come back to God someday. Don't live under that false illusion. If you were like me, when I was a little boy, my mom and dad were warning me of dangerous things all the time. Don't touch that stove. Don't play with fire. Don't run with scissors. Don't play out in the street. Make sure you look both ways when you cross the highway. Don't put plastic bags over your sister's head. They gave us a lot of commands and warnings. Probably half of my conversation with my parents through age 10 was warnings, I would guess. And the reason they did that is because they loved me and my siblings. They loved us. You tend to warn people about danger that you love the most. Those tend to be the ones that you speak to with the greatest passion about making sure that you hear a loving warning. And that's what our Lord Jesus is doing for us tonight through his word. If God's intent was simply to terrify us and scare us with the fact that we could die a horrible, tragic death, he would have just ended it there. He would have just stopped with that and walked away. But our Lord Jesus wants to bring us to an understanding of the great lesson of repentance about our sins, so that we can come to his beautiful, marvelous grace and have the hope of heaven. This is the precise reason why he's here in this world. This is the precise reason why he has come to deal with us and talk to us. Jesus says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he's not saying that to terrify us. He's saying that with loving urgency in his voice. In other words, spiritually, wake up. Wake up. I love you. I have come to be your Savior. I've come to shed my holy blood for you. I've come to live a perfect record for you before God. I have come to win you everlasting life in heaven so you get to taste the kind of food that angels get to eat. I have come to do that for you, but I don't want you to miss out on this. I don't want you to fall back into the lethargy and the apathy of thinking you've got plenty of time to repent. Do it now. Our Lord's plea is grounded for us in his caring, compassionate heart, in the very mercy that's going to drive him to the cross and cause him to lay his body over the coals of hell so you'll never have to know what that kind of intense heat ever feels like. Our Lord Jesus is not trying to just spare us from an earthly tragedy, but an eternal tragedy. He's trying to save you and me from eternal barbarism and terrorism. That's what his mission is about. And when the Holy Spirit, through his word, comes into your heart and mind, through our ears, down into our conscience and soul, and causes us to realize the depth of our sin, and causes us to come before God's altar and seek his grace and forgiveness in Christ that's been poured out for every one of us there. And when we, by faith, through that Holy Spirit, grab onto that grace, grab onto the cross and the passion of our Lord and say, I sure need that, and I needed that, and I will need it. I've got to have it. And possess it now by faith. This is what our Lord's mission is all about. He gives us this little interesting story of the fig tree, the parable that we read at the end of our text. A man who comes and finds his tree that's not producing any fruit and he wants it cut down, but his worker pleads for one more year. Give it a little bit more of a window of time, a window of grace. And the point that Jesus is making to you and me tonight is this. God could easily come and just slaughter all of us and just end all of this and possibly catch some of us off guard for eternity. But right now, tonight, through the sinful mouth of this preacher, God is coming to you and opening to you the window of his mercy and his grace that has been opened for you because of the blood of Christ shed on the cross. God holds open to you right now, tonight, the gracious forgiveness of all of your sins through faith in his Son. And he says, jump through the window. Now is the time. Tonight's the night to believe in him and to put your faith and your trust in him. Don't put it off, because a time is coming when the window will shut. So let us not put off our repentance. Your Lord Jesus stands before you tonight with open arms through his word and pleads with you, come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jump to him. Amen.